Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou would open the Word to us now. Help us to lay hold of the truth of it. And grant, dear Lord, we pray, that understanding of the Word that will be rich and full and free. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the 17th chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we are studying together at the present time, remembering that the 17th chapter of the book of the Revelation discusses the false ecclesiastical system which will come to a head in the closing days of the tribulation. We have learned a number of things about it, and the last thing we were talking to you about was that this false ecclesiastical system comes to power through an alliance with the world rulers of the day. It will not be what we might call a state church, such as have been in England and in Latin American countries when the Roman church held sway, but it will be a world church coming to power through the power of the Antichrist himself. We would like to notice with you today that though this system has not yet come to power, it is growing. Though it has not made its appearance on the stage of the world, the stage is being set for its appearance. We are interested to notice various indications that the stage is being set for the appearance of this world church. Excuse me. These observations alarm us tremendously, because it will mean no good for the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Various government regulations are already being put into effect in relation to these religious groups which are not allowed, not allied with the National or World Council of Churches, which will be eventually allied with the church at Rome and with this world church described in Revelation chapter 17. The wealth of the modern-day church is second to none. The wealth of this great world church will be almost unbelievable. Will you notice, please, Revelation chapter 17, verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Now, all of these things signify great wealth. It is significant that churches, when they show forth their wealth, adopt these color for robes of splendor. All these colors, purple, scarlet, gold, precious stones, and pearls, are used among the wealthy church of today. Now, it distresses me personally to see Protestant churches adopting the garb of this false ecclesiastical system in so many ways. It distresses me to see the Protestant churches moving the pulpit from which the Word of God should go forth to the side of the platform, and putting the altar in the center of the stage, and on the altar a golden cross and golden candlesticks beside. It distresses me personally to see form and ritual in Protestant churches which demand the draping of the center cross with black crepe during the so-called Lenten season, and the removal of that black crepe on the day designated the Resurrection Day. I believe that all of these things are but preparing the stage for our alliance with the church that will eventually be known as the false ecclesiastical religious system. And as we continue, I might add, it distresses me tremendously to see in the Protestant church that which would be horrifying to a great many people, the thought of having the cross anywhere in the sanctuary as the symbol of anything. Individuals who say, I don't even want a cross in the sanctuary, are using now worship centers in their Sunday school departments, indicating or attempting to teach that there can be no true worship unless there is some emblem of worship on which to fashion the attention of boys and girls and young people. I believe that whether people realize it or not, these are all conditioning things to set the stage for the appearance of this church with all of its ritual and with all of its splendor. Well, you look at verse 2 of this 17th chapter and notice the tremendous political influence which this false religious system will have. We are told in verse 2 that this church has committed fornication with the kings of the earth and with the inhabitants of the earth, and has made them drunk with the wine of her fornication, which suggests that she has made alliances with all the political powers of the earth. And this is being consistently done even today, so that this church is worldwide in its political influence. It is a church that the leaders of government will notice before they make any decision whatsoever. I personally am concerned with the so-called lobby maintained by various churches in Washington with the purpose of influencing government in favor of certain ecclesiastical moves. I believe that whatever good may come from such lobbying could just as well be accomplished through the power of prayer, and it would not place us in the situation of playing into the hands of Satan as he arranges the stage of the world for the appearance of this great false ecclesiastical system. If you will look at the second part of verse 2, you will have a suggestion as to the size of this church, indicating once again that it has not yet made its appearance upon the earth. For in verse 2 we read, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." The inhabitants of the entire earth have drunk the wine of this church, have swallowed its propaganda, and have become a part of it. And it has become traditional, if you will look at verse 15. For we read, "The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth." When we were introduced to this woman, she was sitting on waters, and we are told here that these waters are symbolic of peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Will you notice in verse 6 a suggestion of the tremendous authority which will rest in the hands of this church? There we read, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." There is no question that a certain application of this verse can be made to the church of past history. If you are familiar with church history, you know that there was a time when the church persecuted to the point of death anybody who disagreed with her. Missionaries report to us that the same sort of thing goes on in countries where the state church holds sway today. But I would like to suggest to you that this verse of Scripture is not exclusively a reference to past history, because when this false ecclesiastical system takes control, it will slaughter everybody who stands in its way. Of course, the true born-again believers can have no part nor lot in this false ecclesiastical system, and they will pay for their opposition with their lives. We are living in a day when we are comparatively civilized, and men are not having to pay with their blood for their opposition to ecclesiastical authority. But mark what I tell you, men are paying for their opposition to ecclesiastical authority. All over this land of ours, men who have dared to stand up and object to what they believe was wrong in ecclesiastical systems have become martyrs. They may not have had to shed their blood, but they have lost their reputations. They have lost their careers. They have lost their homes. They have lost their positions. They have paid for their opposition to ecclesiastical authority. One of the reasons why many people today laymen so-called, are going along with the false ecclesiastical system is that they do not have the nerve to pay the price. There are multitudes of people today who will look you in the eye and say, I am related to an ecclesiastical system which I know to be false. I am related to an ecclesiastical system with which I do not agree, but I do not dare take my stand against them. Dearly beloved, I would like to say today that you had better take a stand now. Mark what I tell you. If we are as near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as I believe we are, this ecclesiastical system that is building up today is going to ride the beast, and it is going to be increasingly difficult to take your stand for what is right in opposition to false ecclesiasticism. The time will come when the false ecclesiastical system will be drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. One last thing that I have to say to you that we do not have time to look at in detail is that this false ecclesiastical system that began in the city of Babylon and has manifested itself down through the ages in various ways is going to come to a pinnacle of power where everybody will be subject to her, even the Antichrist taking her bidding. And then the end will come. But more about that when we meet again.